Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Guess what?
We are back, but it was close. The buyout clause was met. It was just down to the medical. So off we went to the big city. All they said was, run round the cathedral. Let's see how fit you are. Not a problem. Then disaster struck. We had to go past a pub. Didn't see Tony for the next 4 hours. And that was the end of that. Radio Newark it is. But we've negotiated one thing. We've got the music back. And it's not only us that's returned, and a sure sign that autumn is on its way. Football, rugby and hockey are back. This season we have dedicated correspondents at Lowfields, Kelham Road and Magnus. Craig Roach, Rob Wardman and Paul Halfpenny will be speaking to us every Monday night with all the match reports and the gossips from Newark's leading Saturday clubs. And while we've been away on our jollies, the FA Cup's continued, so we've got to catch up on our adventure. And we find out which teams we are now supposed to be following after 3 rounds of games have been played. Remember, we're following the FA Cup all the way to the final. Unless one of us gets Derby, and then it gets kicked into touch. It's Monday, and Radio Newark Sport is back on your wireless. So after a month off, I thought, you know, today's the day. I was all geared up for it. Everything was in place. And then I saw the sports headlines this morning. It hit me. Tony Smith gets the sack, it said. I thought, yes, the producer has finally done something. But no, he's here. Alongside me, as ever, is the advertiser's loss and Newark Sports' gain. The father of the bride, the umpire of the year, RHP Football Club's chairman, and now part of the Flowserve backroom staff. A lucky charm? You should work with him. He is available for hire. Actually, you can have him. Mr. Smith, good evening.
Hello. How wonderful to be back.
Well, I thought you've missed it, haven't you?
Well, I'm sure we've been missed by both our listeners as well.
Is there any sports clubs that you haven't managed to get connected with during the summer break?
No, not really. I think I've run out.
I think you probably have, haven't you? You wasn't sacked, but the Tony Smith at Warrington Rugby League Club has been sacked at the end of the season.
Is it a sacking or is it mutual?
He's really enjoyed his 9 years at the club, apparently, so I don't know, is it mutual or not? But whichever way, we're a Tony Smith less in sport. And a lot of people have tried for a number of years to be a Tony Smith less in sport. We've been away a long time. Let's have a look at some of the stories that we've missed. And we kick off with Amelia Crispin, who collected a bronze medal at the British Triathlon Festival held at Mallory Park over the bank holiday. She represented the Yorkshire region and was up against 36 of the top triathletes from across the UK in her age group. Third place, Tony. I'll talk to you about that one in a couple of minutes. Amy Hunt won the 100 metres at the English Athletics Under 17 Championships at Bedford. More details on that one coming up. She's had a fantastic few weeks, she really has. Chad Sugden took less than 2 minutes to win his latest boxing match. The referee stopped the fight after his opponent hit the deck. He survived the count, but he didn't know where he was. So that was the end of that. Chad's on the road to glory.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Amelia Crispin. I know we talk about Amelia on a regular basis. She's a Radio Newark Sport favourite. She's now the third best young triathlete in the UK. Simple as that.
Quality, isn't she?
What an achievement. Amy Hunt won the 100 metres gold at the English Athletics while we were away. The final saw five of the top seven fastest under 17 women in the UK go head to head. Amy had a great start, as always, up against the front runners, steadily pulled away to win it in a time of 11.72 seconds. Now that, I thought, was the end of Amy's season. But no, it isn't. Because at the weekend, she was back with another gold medal to add to that ever-growing collection. She was up in Geordieland for the Games of the North, the Newcastle City Games, whichever way you want to call it, but whichever way, it's a prestigious event. And she entered the under 19 150 metre race. She won it in 17.31 seconds. That would have placed a third in the senior final. And that impressive it was. She got interviewed by Gabby Logan on the Beeb.
Oof. You know you've made it, don't you?
If Gabby Logan interviews you, you're there. But she said, I've been interviewed by Mick and Tony.
Yeah, Gabby who?
Gabby who? Exactly. That's the young lady that me thinks is going places. Jeez. And she's going places fast.
Literally.
Very fast. So, Amy will come and see us sometime in October.
She is going
to
be...
I'll have to dress you up as Gabby Logan.
Make sure it's a Saturday night then.
Some of the stories that happened. We've had a month off. I don't know where you've all been for a month, but we've had a month off. Tony was trying to take over Newark Sport. and I went to Cornwall. One likes to spend summer in Cornwall.
Yes.
One does. One goes to one's home in Cornwall and spends summer down there.
One's home is a lighthouse, isn't it?
Yes, it was. We actually stayed in a working lighthouse, which was great fun until it come foggy. We had some friends down with us, and one of them managed to undo the window, because they were sleeping downstairs. They undid the window because it was a bit warm in the bedroom, dozed off back to sleep, and the foghorn went off. Needless to say that both of them was awake, one of them by screaming something that I'm not allowed to scream on the radio, and the other one thinking, what is happening here? I'm not supposed either of them has recovered from it. The last thing we did before we went on our little trips was the Newark Half Marathon. Okay, long time ago now, wonderfully hot day, yeah. Wonderful turnout. You've covered many half marathons in your stint with a good old Newark Journal, Advertised Journal, whatever it's called. But I thought that was a bit of a special day.
It was indeed. It was a good day to watch it. I wouldn't have liked to compete it, even back in the day when I could. Because it was very, very hot to be running. And I'm delighted that we didn't have anybody seriously ill. Because it was the sort of day when it could have turned very, very bad. It could have turned to a front page story quite easily. It was too hot to run on. And but it was great being out there. Because when we're sat in here, it's great and I love it. But we had an audience. Oh, that was magic.
Yes, and like any comedian, he loves to play to an audience.
Oh, it was a really, really good day.
6 minutes off the course record. Okay, the course record is only 1 year old, but 6 minutes off the course record because we got an Olympian, an Irish Olympian. An Irish Olympian that lives in Wales and was running in Newark, but that would have to be us, wouldn't it?
But it was such a special day. And I once ran the Bradford half marathon, and we had to stop at traffic lights. It was crazy. The stewarding was non-existent. And at the end of that race in Bradford, well, a bloke was putting my medal round his neck. I said, have you got a licence to kill? Because you want to get yourselves down to Newark and see how a race is done properly. And I've always been proud of the Newark Half Marathon.
Talking of getting yourself down to Newark to see how a race was run properly, or more to the point, cycled properly, I was very honoured to be part of the little group of Radio Newark people that covered the Tour of Britain last Wednesday when it came to Newark. And it was a memorable, memorable afternoon. I know there was the doubters, there was the moaners and the grumblers that, you know, the traffic lights is on red for more than 5 minutes and they can't get over them. But hey-ho, we was in the national spotlight. Newark was national. And the whole of the afternoon was brilliant. The organisation was second to none. And the... Two things, Tony. One... We was right at the finishing line, you know. Do you know why I am? I'm Radio Newark. You know, we was at the finishing line.
Know what you are, mate.
Exactly. They just cycled 165 kilometres, whatever that is in English, which was a long way, whichever way you look at it. They wasn't even sweating.
No.
It wasn't hard work.
The very fit lads.
Absolute. I mean, I could not believe how fit... Some of these, all these races.
I bet they can't drink.
They're not in your league, no. And secondly, for anybody that missed the photos, the videos, if they missed the day, if somewhere you was on a different planet, go on to our social media pages, have a look at them. But the highlight, the real highlight... is when you let breakfast show presenters do sport. We put one of them on Bewman Cross. They've just passed the whites. Mr. Colborne was in the slipstream of the leading cyclists, last seen heading towards Victoria Street.
But people pan Newark. People are very critical about our town. And when you get occasions like last Wednesday, when you get occasions like the Newark Half Marathon, it shows Newark at its finest. And that's how good this town is.
And, you know, we did everything right. The streets was cleared. The public made the noise. Unlike Retford, that we'll gloss over what happened there. Suffice to say that the guy is on the mend. And he is going to be back cycling very, very soon. So that's good. That's excellent. Day to remember, Tony, goes down in one of the best days. The night before, we had the youngsters racing round the town centre. Now, you and I are old enough to remember the town centre cycle racing. This was for the youngsters, and it was wet on those cobbles. Just falling off on a straight line. But you know what it's... You can't stand up on it, can you?
No.
But they did ever so well, and everybody wants to make it an annual event. The council, the cycling club, Radio Newark, the marketplace, we all want to make it an annual event. And, you know, Newark Marketplace lends itself to round the town,
yeah,
don't it?
Yeah.
I spoke to them. We've never raced on cobbles before. It's a first. It's different. It's brilliant. So that's two fantastic pluses moving forward. The half marathon, the Tour of Britain. The Sports Hub, I'm not quite sure I've seen any movement at Elm Avenue yet.
No, there's no change.
You're the chairman, not of the Sports Hub, but of Elm Avenue.
I'm the chairman of the football club.
Right, why is nothing happening?
Because I don't think anything ever will.
So talk.
It's not even talk now, is it? just nothing is happening. It'd be great if it did happen, but would Newark Town move there now? Would they move to the new stadium?
Newark Town, apparently, this is their last season at Collingham. So I'm told.
I mean, I always wanted to see Newark Town play in Newark, but I'm not sure if we're going to have a Newark Town much longer.
Now somebody's bought your FlowServe top.
That's skin tight, I can tell you.
Right, one more quick one before we get down to the business with Craig. Chris Reid, standing ovation, guard of honour.
Yeah.
Proper county cricketer.
And a lovely, lovely bloke.
Why wasn't he deemed good enough to play for England? He can bat, and he's the best wicket keeper on the circuit. And you tell me he's a lovely, lovely bloke. Somewhere, that face didn't fit.
I think it all began when he was playing for England and he tried to duck under about what he thought was a bouncer and the ball fell on his wicket. And I think that he was held responsible for that and punished far too much for it.
And we've seen some of the shots they get out to. These days... Tomorrow night we're talking cricket.
Yes, my two children.
I mean, it is
in,
very
they?
Difficult not to talk to a club that you're not connected with.
I don't do dominoes much.
But we are talking cricket tomorrow night, and we're looking back on cricket season. Was it a good one? Was it a bad one?
Or was it a truly great one?
Or was it a truly great one? I suppose it all depends where you play,
which club you were at,
where you play your cricket. Coming up next, we've got Craig Roach, hopefully. And he's going to tell us just how easy football management is. You won't believe it, would you? I've had a month off and I still forget to put my glasses on before I put my headphones on. Some things never change. Okay, we're now going to the first of our, what is going to be regular throughout the winter, Monday night telephone calls. We're going over to the manager of Newark FlowServe, Mr. Craig Roach, who's going to explain to us just how easy this football management lark is. Played 7-1-7. It's not difficult, is it, Craig?
Sounds easy. Evening, mate.
Good evening. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Yes, I'm sure it can't be as easy as sort of the stats tell you it is. But to be honest, you really couldn't have hoped, expected, imagined, whatever, for the start you've had this season. It's been truly remarkable.
Yeah, fantastic start. You know, like you say at the start, if someone has said you'll win your first 7 games... well, obviously, would have snapped their hand off. So, yeah, really pleased with the results so far.
Let's talk about have a bit of a match report from Saturday, because you had a break from the league, and it was the League Cup.
That's right.
That is actually in a different form. The trophy that FlowServe have won 5 times under the guise of Wormington Simpsons and IDP and all that, and it's absolutely stunning. It's the best trophy there is. On the circuit, it is absolutely stunning.
Is that the trophy you slept with, Mick?
Yes, I have slept with that trophy. Yes, kicked the wife out and slept with that trophy. So important to win, because that would be one that you want to go as far as you can in. It wasn't, from what I saw, the best of games to watch, but you did a job.
No, I totally agree. Especially first half, you know, we weren't really that pleased with our own performance. We've kind of set the standards a little bit now, so we kind of expect quite a lot from the lads week in, week out. But teams are coming now. They know what they're coming to when they come to Newark, to us. They're hard to break down, so it takes a little bit of patience. And eventually, we got there in the end, and it was a comfortable victory in the second half.
Now, we're getting used to some of the names, Craig, but some of the lads are Newark lads and some of the lads are Nottingham lads. So just talk me through the goal scorers and tell me a little bit about them, if you would.
Elliot King got the first one for us on Saturday. He's our leading scorer at the minute and the leading scorer in the league. He has played for the club before. He's from Long Eaton. He loves playing for FlowServe, he loves the club. And he's back there for his second spell. Hopefully it'll be a bit of a longer one this time. Nathan Kelly has come to us from Clifton, made his debut on Saturday, and he scored 2 goals for us. Second one was an overhead kick, so it was quite a nice goal for everyone to see. Daryl Price got the third one. Everyone knows Daryl locally.
Everybody knows Daryl and his skills.
He got two as well. Could have had a few more. But yeah, like you say, there's a couple of lads from out of town. Biggest problem at the minute is getting everybody there every week. You know, there's a lot of new faces every week. That's been the biggest problem for us so far, getting a consistent squad every week. You know, there's a lot of change every week for one reason or another, whether it's injuries, holidays, weddings, etc. That's just the nature of it.
I think a bit of a word for a young lad that wasn't there. Everybody knows he got married the week before. That, Craig, was one hell of a coup. Jack Beckett.
Jack, yeah, absolutely fantastic player Jack is, and we have missed him since he's been away. But I think any club would miss Jack Beckett not being there. He's such a good player, and lovely lad as well. And like you say, he's happily married now, and he's away on his honeymoon. So we look forward to having him back. We play this Friday. He misses that, and I believe we've got him then for the following Saturday. He lands at Heathrow at 7 the following Saturday, and he's available that afternoon.
You've not been on a helicopter for him, have you, to get him there?
If we have to, we will. We're the chairman.
We're also going to ask you about the reserves as well. I know they didn't have a game on Saturday, but we need you to keep sort of keep us all in touch with the reserves. It's the first season that FlowServe's had a reserve side again after two or three seasons without one. How important is that side going to be to you?
Crucial. Crucial. I mean, we used a couple of the lads on Saturday because there's that many numbers away. But, you know, the support that reserve team gives the club with stability and the future, because the idea is that most of the lads, and they are young lads, very young, very talented young lads. You know, they've got somewhere to step up, and it's a bridge for them, because there's under 21 sides out there, but they only play once a month, etc. So when they finish youth football, there's not really anywhere in between. Not all of them are ready to step straight up to sort of step 7 level straight away. So having a reserve side gives them the ability to just progress through at a steady pace and get that bit more experience at senior level.
So you're playing Friday night. It's Calverton away?
We're playing Gedling. Gedling. They play at Calverton's ground.
Right, that's where I was getting confused.
Yeah, they're ground sharing with them. So we're away there Friday evening.
Friday night football seems to be coming more to the forefront in both Central Midlands and the not seen. And I've done a couple of Friday night matches with big crowds, so I can understand why the leagues and the administrators of the clubs want to do it. How difficult is it for the manager and the players?
For me personally, and from what I've seen from the availability we've got left this week, not bad. It's the first one we've had. I'd rather have a Friday night than a midweek, because we do have a few lads who work away. They're obviously back on a Friday, and everyone gets a Saturday free. So, in that respect, it's not too bad.
I've seen the list of jobs you've got to do at home, by the way. I've been talking to your wife on Saturday, so you probably won't want to play Friday night football.
No, she's glad that I'm available Saturday for the full day, so I'll have a big list of jobs to get done, sure.
Right, finally, Craig, we're going to talk every week about something that happened in the big game of the Premier League, and this week's big talking point is you get sent off if you play for Liverpool against Manchester City for a high kick, but you don't if you play for Newcastle against Swansea. Two different referees, two different versions. What's Craig's thoughts on it all?
Difficult one. It's always down to the judgment of the referee at the time, obviously, and his officials. They obviously talk to each other nowadays for the earpieces, but like I say, the challenges were very, very similar. The ball was there. Fortunately, Manny did catch the City keeper, made quite a bit of a mess of him. Bournemouth just got away with it, I think, just because the contact wasn't the same. But maybe if the contact was the same as what Manny made at City, you know, he might have seen a red as well at Bournemouth. But you know, I think it's just down to the referee on the time, and you know, they have.
If you was that referee on that Man City game, Craig, where would you have gone? You've played the game for long enough. I didn't think. I thought, you know, the argument is it was to be sent off, it's got to be intentional.
Yeah, it didn't seem intentional. I don't think you could say it's intentional when the ball is that high. Obviously, the keeper's coming out. He can't use his hands, so he's going down with his head. Natural reaction for a player is to try and get his toe on the end of it, flick it over the keeper. He's not going to go in with his head unless he's nuts, because he's going to get hurt. So it's just one of them things.
Well, most keepers are, aren't they?
It's unfortunate, really.
Yeah, it's all part and parcel of the game, surely, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, like I say, if Mané had not gone for it and he'd backed out, you know, Jurgen Klopp would have probably dragged him off and give him a good hiding anyway. You can't win, really. It's just unfortunate that it suffered, you know, it's quite a serious injury following from the challenge, but... as far as the red card goes, I think it's probably 50-50 what people think. Some people say it was harsh, some people say he deserved it.
I hate to have to agree with Gary Neville, but in this one I do, and I really don't think that was a red card.
No, I thought it was harsh.
It really was harsh. Best of luck on Friday. I'm trying to get out there to have a look at you on Friday night.
Thank you.
And then we'll catch up with you again on Monday, when hopefully you're going to tell us it's 8 out of 8.
Hopefully, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
Reserves Rome on Saturday as well. They've got Gedlin, and see if they can keep themselves up near the top. They're second at the minute. So
if you can't get over to Calverton on Friday night, get yourself down to Lowfields on Saturday.
Exactly.
Good stuff. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, mate.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Craig Roach there, the man that's telling us how easy it is to manage Flowserve, and the man sitting next to me is saying, well, that's only because I'm there. Correct?
Yeah. Without a doubt. I'm sure all the lads would agree wholeheartedly.
Without a doubt. Next up on our trip round the What Happened on Saturday, we're going to try and find Rob Wardman. But first of all, what's happened today?
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
And as you all know by now, Frank de Boer has been sacked as the Crystal Palace manager after just 5 games and 77 days in charge. 4 of those games, Premier Division games, when they haven't managed to score a goal. Former England boss Roy Hodgson is set to replace him by all accounts. Announcing the 47-year-old Dutchman's departure on the club website, Palace said, "We would like to thank Frank for his dedication and hard work." We'll give him more than 4 games then. On to cricket, and England seamer James Anderson has reclaimed the number 1 test bowling ranking following a career best 7 for 42 against the West Indies at Lords. The 35-year-old is the first Englishman to take 500 wickets in the series, clinching 9 wicket win. And in other news, Chris Froome wins in Spain. Rafa Nadal wins in New York. Mo Farah wins in Geordieland. And Tony Smith's beloved Berwick Rangers lose again.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
And in the show that never stops, straight onto the phones with our rugby union guru, Mr. Rob Wildman. Rob, welcome to the new season.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm super, yeah.
You're super.
Absolutely tip-top.
Let's start with the good news that's coming out of Kelham Road.
We've always got good news.
Always got good news. I attended straight back from Cornwall, threw the cases out of the car, said to the wife, your job, I drove back. I'm going to Kelham Road. And spent a lovely afternoon as a guest of Newark Rugby Club at the grand opening of what I was told was Premiership standard changing rooms.
Absolutely, no, we've they're a magnificent block of changing rooms. Obviously, the money has been well spent, funded by the Sport England grant and the RFU Foundation work. So, no, we're very proud of them. 6 changing rooms, absolutely, to the Twickenham specifications, if we can say that word, yes.
It's testament to the hard work that's been going on.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Behind the scenes.
David Pick, obviously, he was given the honour of... we invited Dusty Hare down, obviously, our famous England player, to come along and open the dressing rooms, but Dusty very kindly, when he got there, said that David Pick, who's been the project manager, former first team player is David, and a long, long standing supporter and committee member at Newark. He was way back in the 80s, he'd worked on the one of the extensions to the original clubhouse. So David's spent almost a lifetime on projects for the club, and he's been the project manager for this dressing room block, and he was given the honour of cutting the ribbon. So Dusty held the ribbon while David cut the ribbon, if you understand what I'm getting at. But no, a great afternoon for the club, and hats off to all the people who have done the work, the Chris and John Cohen from the builders, and a hardy group of volunteers every Tuesday have been down there since over the last year, volunteering for various tasks, and have saved the club quite a bit of money in their volunteering hours. And credit to Alan Swain, who led the fundraising team, and all the gang. Sadly, us pen pushers were not often seen on a Tuesday morning. No.
Alan Swain is our special guest next Tuesday night on the Sport Show.
Well, Alan's worked very, very hard on the project, absolutely committed, and again, as I say, hats off to him. He's driven the fundraising for the project. We're entering the last lap, without boring people. We've obviously completed the dressing room block. The second phase, which is the office complex, ancillary rooms, a shop, new loos, they should be complete, I think, Christmas, January time. And then that leaves us, perhaps the hardest task of all, is to do the clubhouse bar and dining room area, and that's planned for to start April, May time after this season. And we're also in the last final lap of fundraising for that project, and the club have got to make a decision in November whether we do go ahead with it. But all the indications are at the moment that we will, and I think the commitment and the determination of club members and officials is to complete the job.
Absolutely brilliant. Now let's talk on the pitch, Rob, because first team wise it hasn't started as everybody would have hoped.
Right, well, that's a good question, isn't it? Thank you, Michael, for that one. How do I explain? I think the answer is no, Michael. Yes, no. I'm answering it a no. You're not daft, are you? You've looked at the results. We went to Hinckley for one friendly, which is early August. I think I was still in my my deck chair then, and then I got out of my deck chair. We went to Market Raisin, which is a place I always love going to, probably because horse racing is, as people know, is near my heart as well. So off to Market Raisin, and we lost 50-0. I got a compliment. I ran the touch that day, and someone said, "Oh, you're looking very gazelle-like, Rob."
Gazelle?
I said, "Thank you very much." And they said, "Oh, yes, an arthritic gazelle." So anyway, that's
very nearly a compliment.
I'm avoiding the question on the team. So we had a pretty poor day out at Market Raisin. We lost 50-0 in a friendly. Anyway, since then we have picked up, and hats off again. I'm using that phrase tonight. Hats off. We've trained much better over the last 3 weeks. We lost to West Bridgeford on the day of the opening of the dressing rooms, and again Saturday went off to Dronfield. I didn't go there because I was helping to organise another game at Newark, which I'll talk about in a minute. But the first stuck at it, and at one stage we led against Dronfield in the first half, 15-14 up. But unfortunately we came out losers 44-20. We defended it very well in good periods. Positives are that we scored 3 tries, took our tries well. Good to see players like Jordan Slack, Robbie Hunter Shaw, the winger, he sped away from his own half to score. We can score tries. We've got to sort of stop penalties and sort of lap again silly periods where we give points away too easily. I think if we get our best squad out, we will be competitive. So this weekend we're off to Oakham to play in the RFU Intermediate Cup first round, 2:30 kickoff, and then in 2 weeks' time we've got our first home league game when Ilkeston are the visitors. So I think we'll have a better idea by then. I think we'll have 2 more weeks under our belts, and we'll see how the team's progressing. We've got 1 or 2 players to come back in. I think things will slowly sort themselves out.
Excellent. You was at Kelham Road then on Saturday?
I was at Kelham Road. Again, it was a special game. Probably people have read about it in the papers. It was in memory of a Newark soldier who was killed 10 years ago in Afghanistan. Private Sean Violino, who was raised in Newark, and his former regiment, the 36 Engineers, came to play us, play our social 15, third and fourth team combined, in a special tribute game to Sean. His family organised the off-field events. They were fundraising for the Newark Patriotic Fund and other service charities, and it was a very successful old-fashioned rugby day, really. We got rid of the army retreated about 8:30 from the clubhouse, so heading in their bus for Nottingham. So they had a great reunion. It was a competitive game. As I feared, when they trooped off the bus, they looked a bit too good, and they were certainly a bit too good for our third and fourth teams. We lost 63-10, but the lads stuck at it and scored two good tries, and hopefully it was a good experience for them to play on the main pitch and in such a game. And to cap it all, people may well have seen it at 2:30, a Lancaster bomber, as a tribute to Sean, circled the ground two or three times. I presume it had come from the air show at Scampton, and as a tribute to Sean, who had died in Afghanistan, made a low flying fly past, and there's a very good picture on our website of the bomber. Yes, yeah. So I must admit, I never thought I'd organise a game which included a low flying Lancaster bomber. No.
That's the first. That's the first for you, Rob.
That is a first.
And we've had something that's very nearly a first, Rob, and we've had a letter. We don't get many letters, right, but we do like them when we get one. And it was a young lad from up in the northeast, in my lot's neck of the woods. Young Finlay Gould has written to his granddad and says, "Last year, your rugby man said that Newcastle would finish well down the league when I thought those finished fourth. When you talk to him again, where are they going to finish this time? Because we played two and won two. So Aviva Premiership, Rob, just for the sake of Finlay Gould, Newcastle Falcons."
You've got me there, haven't you? I think...
You're not going to upset a young lad, are you?
I looked at their squad the other night, and I think they'll finish top six.
Right, there you go. I know he's listening up there in Whitley Bay, right, because you can listen.
I think their looks changed as well. I looked at their squad, and they've got the best squad they've had. Certainly, obviously, Dean Richards and John Wells, an ex-Newark coach and ex-Newark player and former England coach, a guy Tony knows very well. John's with Dino's team up there. They've got the best squad they've got in there. Probably 4 or 5 years have been at Newcastle now. They deserve a little bit of luck. If they can keep their main players injury-free, then yes, I can see them finishing the top six. They're off to America this weekend to play Saracens in a game in Philadelphia. I must admit, I don't quite know why they're going there. But
that's why it's at a 10 o'clock kickoff. I think there's no way my grandson is going to watch a rugby match at 10 o'clock.
It's a sponsors thing to promote rugby in the States, and Newcastle are taking one of their home games into Philadelphia. There's a big sponsorship behind it. Again, I'm as a skeptic, and I don't know why they started selling season tickets with the Saracens home game included in the package.
It's wrong.
About a month after selling season tickets for the full package, they announced they were taking one game off the season tickets to go to America. I don't think that was great publicity for them.
I hope such
ventures do pay off. But Newcastle have got a very strong squad, as all the Premiership clubs have. They've all beefed up, and it's a big question in the game.
There you are, Finlay. Mr. Wardman says top six. And if Mr. Wardman says top six, it will be.
Well, I don't know about
six.
my predictions. If I could finish, obviously, I'd like to also pay tribute to Brian Fisher, who a guy I think you met, Mick, at last October when we started the building work on the new dressing room block, and you did a very nice interview with him. And Brian was obviously our former president and another stalwart figure in the development of the ground at Kelham Road throughout his life. And sadly, Brian died about a month ago. He had a long battle against cancer, and I think he was 82 when he died. But right up until the end, he was working for Newark Rugby Club, huge interest, huge passion for the game and for the club. And again, if I can send our condolences to all the Fisher family and to Rita, his wife and children and grandchildren. It was a very sad occasion, but also an uplifting memorial service to Brian. And he's about the only man who could order the club to put a marquee on the first team pitch for his wake and for his farewell ceremony. And it was tribute to the man.
Rob, I think we'll leave it there, because that is a fitting place to leave. I know Tony wants to say a few words about Brian Fisher, but Rob, we'll catch you again next Monday night.
Yes,
same time.
Oakham Saturday, yes.
And so, you can tell us all about a victory at Oakham.
2:30 kick-off. Second team are away as well, but the thirds are at home, so there is some rugby.
So there is some rugby at Cadham Road.
Yeah.
Excellent. That's brilliant. Thank you very much, Rob.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Rob Wardman there. And Tony, I know you was sort of taking great interest in that conversation, and you must have met Brian Fisher on numerous occasions.
I did, and he wasn't just a great rugby man, he was a great man, full stop, and will be sadly missed.
It is such a shame, and we seem to wear this news too often coming out of the rugby club, that the stalwarts are.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Newark Rugby Club, you know, seem to lose people hand over fist. You know, it's a tremendous shame, because so many people have put so many hours into that club, as players, as people off the field, behind the scenes, and it's a wonderful place, great place to be.
And I'm going for a sponsor's lunch in 2 weeks' time.
Oh, very nice.
Been invited.
You can't beat them, Mick.
Okay, we're running out of time, but we're very, very quickly, I'm going to talk FA Cup. Which gives me an excuse to play this. We started off, didn't we, with Renouf and Whitley Bay.
Yes.
Renouf went by the wayside very early doors.
First extra qualifying round.
And you're now supporting Shepshed Dynamo, and they're still in it.
Are they?
So they're going well.
I mean, of course they are.
I started with Whitley Bay, as one does on a local radio show from the East Midlands. they managed two rounds, but they've been beaten now, and it's somebody called Newcastle Benfield. Locally, AFC Mansfield are still in it. Again, they beat Dunkirk 4-0. Basford, who I keep saying, Newark Town was playing in the league 3-4 years ago, they are still in it. They beat Helzo in Town. Grantham Town joined at the last round, won. So they go on, and they're Lincolnshire's only survivors after Cleethorpes and Lincoln United got beat. And on Thursday night, if I get the time, I'll tell you who they're all playing in Saturday's first official qualifying round. But much, much more important than that, next up, Paul Halfpenny. We've done football, we've done rugby, and that leaves our wonderful, all-conquering hockey club. And if we talk hockey, there is only one man that we can talk to, isn't there? Welcome back for the winter season to Mr. Paul Halfpenny.
Happy new season.
Happy new season. Is it going to be a happy new season? Tell us what's happening at Newark Hockey Club, Paul. What did the summer bring you all?
A good old rest, I think. It was quite frenetic last year. Lots of success last year. Three teams as champions, three teams promoted. It was good. This season managed to get the services of a new ladies head coach, Amajit Saw. Got lots and lots of experience, coached at National League, came in and did half a game on Saturday, which was a very successful half a game, I might add, against a very strong Leicester Threes team, 4-2 win. I think, in a nutshell, I think I'm very, very confident about the ladies in general. The what I've seen so far, personnel, new players coming back, it looks good. It looks very, very good.
Now,
young players are a year older, a year stronger. We best not forget about those.
No.
You know, we can talk forever about new players coming in, but these one girl in particular, Hannah Lawton, is just setting the pitch on fire at the moment. She's outstanding. So, it's all looking very, very good for the ladies, all the way down, to be perfectly honest with you. New coach coming in at the fourth team level, young lady by the name of Sally. It's good. With regards to the men's first team, Yeah, unfortunately, we've lost Alex, we've lost Tom Roper, we've lost Jack McMahon, and we've lost Tom Smith. Four really key players. And the first two games, first two friendlies, well, I think we'll erase them off the memory. But Saturday's game against Nottingham, although it was a 4-2 loss, the guys were 1-0 up at half-time, deserved the 1-0 lead. And really, for long periods, were the better team. They played very, very well. New youngsters come in, and he's got really good potential. So, you know, we've got a good team without those four. It's going to take a little bit of extra work, I think, on the coaching pitch. But apart from that, you know, it's probably not as confident as last season, but I think we'll be all right.
Good, because both the ladies and the men's are both taking a step up in the leagues for this coming season. The men, I think it sounds like it's going to be consolidation season.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I wouldn't have thought anything else. And I'm led to believe that there's going to be a massive reorganisation of the leagues anyway next season. So we're under absolutely no pressure at all. So if we do finish in a relegation position, so what? The whole thing's going to be reorganised anyway. So we hopefully won't finish in a relegation spot. But if we do, there's no pressure. No pressure at all this season on any of the lads or myself.
The ladies' first team, from all the vibes I'm picking up, are expected to do rather well.
Yes, talking to Ammo pitch side, a long morning with Ammo Saturday morning, and he initially was looking for a top four position in that league, which would be really, really good. But I think after he saw what he got available on Wednesday night, I think he's changing his mind, and I think he rather fancies pushing for promotion in his first season. So we'll see what happens. It's all about availability at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Who's available and when?
It can't go without without saying. When I arrived there on Saturday, which was my first time this season down at the Magnus, I was met by the smiling face of your ex-ladies captain, and I thought, I do hope she's not just guesting for something to do. I really do hope she's signed a piece of paper, and she has. Paskey's returned.
Yes, she's had a cuddle from me. Yeah, good to see her back. I think she left at the right time. I think she's come back at the right time. Yeah, it's great to see Sarah back. You know, her intensity on the pitch, she never plays anything less than 100%, even when she's ill. You know, she never plays any less than 100%. She's a great asset to the club and a great asset to the team.
It will be a big, big piece in the jigsaw, and we're still waiting on the news of what could be the final piece in the jigsaw, but I really do hope you'll be telling me that next week or the week after. We'll wait and see.
I'd like a few more pieces of a mail, to be fair.
Well, yes, yeah, yes.
Yeah, that signing would be really, really good. And I know there's people working on that at the moment. We don't have a deadline day in hockey, yeah. Really. So
there's a lot of people working very hard. You're coaching the men's first and the ladies' thirds again?
That is correct, yes. Yes.
You're a glutton for punishment, Paul.
Pardon?
You're a glutton for punishment.
Well, no, it was a really, really good season with the ladies' threes, and I've got to have my dose of ladies' hockey, haven't I? you know, they're a great bunch, and the way they played against Bourne, an 8-1 win against Bourne, they got thrashed by Bourne the other year. You know, they stepped up a division, Division 1 now. I'm really looking forward to coaching them this season. I think they're going to do well.
And we can't end without, you've already mentioned that Sally's back in the fold, and you know, I've been secretaries of football clubs, and I've been around sport all my life, but there's only ever been one manager stroke coach I've been scared of, and that's Sally. When the ladies got beat, we went without an interview. When they won, we interviewed.
Oh yeah.
But it's lovely to see her back. I do hope the fourths know what they've let themselves in for.
She's got a tender understanding side too.
I thought that was only with you, Paul.
Oh really? Oh right, okay. I'll remind her.
Paul, as ever, it's brilliant that you're back on the airwaves and hockey's back. And, you know, I put reports, numerous reports on over the weekend, and the biggest seen report on our social media site was the hockey club story about Sarah coming back. So we do love our hockey in Newark, even if more people really want to come and see it. But we've had that argument. Paul, we'll talk to you again next week, same time, when you can bring us up to date with all that happens this weekend at Newark Hockey Club.
Appreciate it, Mick. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul. Bye-bye. So there you are, Tony. Football, rugby,
it's like
and hockey are all back.
It's like we've never been away, isn't it?
they're all back. They're all back on the airwaves. And yeah, I do like this time when you sort of got all that optimism.
I am already.
You get to February and you think, I wish it was the end of the season. But at this time.
Yeah. But I am already sad about the passing of the cricket season, because that was the best summer of my life.
Well, we're cricketing tomorrow night. We're almost dedicating the whole show. We've got Amber. Amber's back on a Tuesday as well.
Oh, magic.
Amber's back. All our favourites come back to see us. Don't forget, we do have numerous social media sites, all of which are too technical for me to tell you how to work them. But just go onto Facebook or Twitter and put Radio Newark in there, and you will find us. All the breaking sports news over the weekend and in the week, we tend to put on there. All our shows this season, I am told, are going to be podcast. I'm told they're going to be podcast with inside a week. So cross your fingers and hope for the best on that one. So if you know anybody who wants to listen to this, can't think who, but somebody might want to listen to it. Nice and simple. Go onto the wonderful Radio Newark website, podcast section, and we will be there. You can listen to it again and again and again and again.
In fairness, the guests are all right, aren't they?
Oh, the guests are good, yes. Yeah. The presenters leave a lot to be desired, but the guests are good. Right. Coming up over the next few weeks, if you like, few days and few weeks, Harry Atkinson's coming in tomorrow night when we talk cricket. Wednesday night, Claire Hunsley is bringing some of the Newark Diamonds, Newark FlowSave Diamonds young lads in, and they was at the Special Olympics, so they're going to have a story to tell us. And Natalie Blake's coming back to tell to talk to us, Tony. You remember when Natalie was in last time? Yeah. She said she hoped she was going to Mexico. Well, on Wednesday night, she tells us if she is going to Mexico. Thursday night, Jeremy Reichel and Stuart Ashby are coming in because they're organising the wonderfully named Ponton Plot. I think that's brilliant. I really do think that's brilliant. Alan Swain's in next week. Andrew Lowe's in next week as we look forward to the boxing. Matt Snee's coming in the week after because it's Sports Awards time.
Great.
And we're going to get involved in that. It's the busiest and the best time of the year. And Radio Newark Sport is back on your wireless to tell you all about it with me and with him. Every Monday to Thursday. What could be better than that? We love Newark.